the best freaking intro there is. That's the music right there that gets you going in the morning. Mike Goolsby Show, Mike Singer, and Mr. Goolsby, Captain Mike. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, buddy. It's a nice fall day here. I'm looking forward to this. Coming off a nice win, another beat down. It's good to be here, buddy.
Against a team you don't like.
Yeah, they played. They played it exceptionally well. I didn't think the game would turn out like this, but maybe that's just my PTSD from going 0-4 against Boston College during my time at ND. But I was happy to see a beatdown against a team like that, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. What, have you played in snow like that, Mike?
I figured you'd ask me that. Not outside of high school. I think there's a high school game, a lot of high school practices that were in the snow, and my toes pay for it nowadays. Got a little bit of frostbite. But, I wasn't fortunate enough, so that was a little bit of envy watching that game because it does seem so fun to play in. And that those gold helmets, Mike, those gold helmets in the snow, they just pop. It's just so fitting.
Yeah. What is a nice fall day like in Nebraska?
In Omaha, Nebraska, today was about 50-something degrees, or it felt like 50 in the sun. Hmm. Washed the car, took the dogs in a nice walk, you know, just got it in.
There you go. Yeah.
Cleared my head before our show, so absolutely.
Yeah, I was in the mid-30s and 40s here in Atlanta today, so how about that? What are your dogs? I don't feel like I've heard you talk about your
dogs. Well, the one made a guest appearance on here once. Cash is a South African Mastiff, and Bear is like a mutt. He's like a Rhodesian Ridgeback something or other. So, yeah, man, they enjoyed it. It was a good day.
Yeah. Goolsby's got a couple dogs. I got 6 golden retrievers.
And by golden retrievers, you mean cats.
Yeah, I got 3 cats. All right, let's get dive into the show. But, of course, folks, please do hit the thumbs up on this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you have not yet. I feel like a lot of you folks might just tune in once a week. We do have a ton of good content throughout the week as well, so you can check all of it out. You can also head to our website, blueandgold.com. Our current promotion we have going on is if you sign up today, it just will cost you $10, and that's accessed through the start of next football season. Goolsby and I have things to discuss, but we want to get into the chat and break down what you guys want to talk about as well. So you can drop a super chat. If you drop a 99-cent question that I don't find interesting, you know, we might just kind of go through it quickly, but, you know, we're easily bought.
Yeah, you get what you pay for, Mike.
There you go. Very well said. We'll dive into the game. What stood out to you the most, Mike? I think my kind of thought on this, Mike, this 44-0 win, the big picture takeaway was, I think we've all seen the stat that going into the game, Notre Dame against the spread was winless when they were favored by 7 or more points. So it's like, oh, Notre Dame stunk against Navy in that second half. And now they got this tough Boston College gritty team. They're coming off of a ranked road win. They're going to play Notre Dame close. And that's what you kind of expected. When I say us as a community, it's what we kind of expected, but no. Boston College was awful, and Notre Dame was kind of that typical Notre Dame Beamer ball that we've seen this season.
Yeah, Boston College, they didn't want any. And they're a bad team this year. How good is NC State? I don't know. But they're not very good. But Notre Dame performed like it ought to against a poor team. So that was good to see. My big takeaway – in particular, watching the game back, I'm going to go back to the BYU game in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like watching that game kind of wind down, and in particular, watching the post game on field kind of celebration, you know, prior to the alma mater, after the alma mater, you just saw a lot of kids smiling, and it was like a genuine sort of joy. And I talked about that, like, after the Clemson win, it was like, it's joy in that this team is having fun, and I'm here for it. I think in years past, and I felt that as a player at Notre Dame, like there's a lot of stoicism, Mike, in that it's very serious. It's very disciplined. It's very dialed in. And what we saw yesterday is a team can play dialed in and they can play disciplined football and they can execute in particular, but on this, at the same time, it can still be fun. And then just what really jumped out to me going back to that BYU game in the Vegas atmosphere, I just felt like a lot of juice and a lot of energy coming from the younger kids on the team. And as the season's kind of played out, that really seems to be the case. I mean, this is as flawed of a team as we are. You know, if we end up knocking off USC, I mean, we're going to finish as a top 10 team. But we are young. Yeah. I mean, you go across the board. I mean, every receiver is young. Your two best offensive linemen, arguably two of your top three offensive linemen, are young.
Sophomores, yeah.
Your running backs are young. Mm-hmm. Your tight end's a stud, but behind him, young kids. I mean, your defense, there's young players all across the board. I mean, there was a point in the game yesterday, I think it was early fourth quarter, you had Jalen Snead, Prince Kali, and Junior Tuialamaka all playing. You've got Benjamin Morrison, young, and we got one in Benjamin Morrison. Xavier Watts showing up with a big sack in the, you know, kind of the celebration afterwards. I love it. I love it. And it gives you reason for optimism going forward. But I just really feel like the way the team plays, and I really feel like we're starting to hum. And again, there are some shortcomings, but just the youth and the excitement and the energy at which we're really play with. I mean, in a 20 degree, you know, snow game, we're still out there having fun. I don't know if that just comes from youthful, like, naivete, or if that's a reflection of Coach Freeman. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I love to see it. And I think it's been long overdue, and it's a really interesting culture shift in that dynamic between a Coach Kelly and a Coach Freeman.
So, I mean, we could talk about a guy like Michael Mayer and how outstanding he is. And it's like, yeah, no crap. Same with Ben Morrison this week. We Mike, if you want to spend some time talking about Ben Morrison,
let's.
I mean, we can. He's outstanding. So I want to touch on some of these freshman sophomores that you were very impressed with. And I have your list too, Mike. So if you forget anybody, I can bring them up. But how about Jalen Snead leading the team or tying the team in tackles? Five. And I'm guessing that all came in the fourth quarter.
And I'm just telling you, man, and we'll touch on Michael Mayer again, legend status, GOAT status.
Yeah.
It looks like to me, Mike, he's finally slimmed down. I did say prior to the season, I hoped that he would drop a couple pounds, and it's like he actually put on weight. But just watching him, especially in that cold weather game, he looks so fluid. And he just looks leaner. I think the first half of the season, he was more barrel-chested looking. It looks like he's dropped like 10 pounds. And I would venture to guess that that's in preparation for combine workouts and things like that. You know, he could show those NFL teams, I played at 265, and he's going to want to run at probably closer to 250. But going back to Jalen Snead, he's still a little bit slight. Don't care. When you watch that kid deliver blows, in terms of hitting people, like, he'll leave his feet. I mean, he's like an electric player, and he's hungry as hell. He's hungry as hell. He knocks out a player, knocks out that running back, gets up talking shit. I mean, this isn't garbage time. I mean, dude, that's just in that kid's DNA. Junior Tuialamaka ran a guy down on a toss sweep, made it look easy. So it's hard to not get, like, overexcited and still give these kids time to continue to develop. But, like, the way a Jalen Snead plays, as loose as he plays, he's almost like a rubber band. I know his nickname is, like, Nuke. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, Colley.
I'm going to start calling him,
Yeah. Sorry, Snead. Yeah, Colley.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling him, like, rubber band man, dude, like T.I. back in the day, because, like, he just snaps on contact and he plays so loose. Put that on a T-shirt. But rubber band man, I mean – He is a dynamic, dynamic player. And yeah, I was stoked to see him play. Kali looked good. But yeah, I mean, Xavier Watts showed up. Obviously, Benjamin Morrison. Let's talk about Benjamin Morrison. Because we don't want him to fall in categorically to like this Michael Mayer where we just take him for granted, right?
Right.
But Benjamin Morrison, he's got really good size, great length, really good speed. I think his best quality, and it's somewhat of an intangible, just has a great feel for the game. I think on his second interception, he knows where he's at on the field. You know, they're on the 40-yard line going in. He's playing man coverage, looking at the quarterback. Like, it's exceptional in terms of just his overall feel for the game and the confidence at which he plays with. Great in press coverage, great footwork off the line, just been really, really well coached. And he's exceptional. And I just think between he and Cam Hart and Mickey and even Clarence Lewis, it's like, we got a great unit. You got a great unit. Xavier Watts showing up.
We did Ramon not say Henderson.
No. And I just think, Houston Griffin can kind of move on, and just these younger kids, as they get more and more reps with they've just got a little bit more ability, just raw talent. The secondary has been a huge glaring weak spot in years prior, and knock on wood, it seems like it's turned into a bit of a strength.
Yeah. I know my mom watches this show now, so I'm going to try not to curse a whole lot, but talk about Morrison. He's got some shit to him. Mm. Like on that first pick, you know, he backs off, he comes back up. Like pre-snap, the guy's he's got swagger.
Yeah.
And to be a big time corner, I mean, of course you need the length, the speed, the football IQ, but you just need to make those split second decisions, dude. When to turn your head around, just the football feel.
The feel.
He's got it, dude.
But you could sit there, like talking to young players. It's like, if you could just, and I would say like chew on it. If you could just mull this over pre-snap, like the down and distance, the personnel on the field, the formation that they're in, and where is the ball at on the field? Are they in the 5-yard line coming out, or are they on the 5-yard line going in? If you could just sort of process a couple of those things pre-snap, it'll make you more successful. And I really feel like that's where you see some of that confidence coming through with Benjamin, is he knows what's going on. He knows what he has, where his help is at behind him. He knows the down and distance. He knows the spacing of the receivers. Like, he's way further developed for an 18-year-old young kid than most. So that's really what makes him exceptional at this point. And that's just in addition to his length and his speed and the technique. So he's a really, really tremendous player. I know he's a quiet kid. This is what I'm told anyway, but if he can start to give some of that to his counterparts in terms of like helping teach them, you know, all ships rise with the tide, that could be special. So,
and my interactions,
I'm just glad we got him.
Yeah. My interactions with him is super smart. Like I think he's kind of one of those kids when he's close to you, you know, if you're tight with him, he really opens up. I think that's Ben Morrison, but I'm just speaking on limited interactions. Okay, we do have a few super chats to get to. Our DV dropped a five and then said Watts must start at safety next year. Watts came in that 2020 class. This is his third year already, which is kind of like, you're talking about the young guys, you throw in Watts. It's his third year. Of course, he's redshirted. Mm-hmm. Redshirted. I'm sure he's got a COVID year somewhere. It's going to be hell to keep track of all that. Who has an extra COVID year for the next few years?
Sure.
I think Watts and Deion Colsey, they're like, as the season has gone on, both of those young men, you've seen them get more and more playing time, whereas you thought maybe they were transfer risks. Watts, remember Mike, he got some reps at receiver in fall camp. And it's like, oh, he's, you know, the media's like, oh, he's moving to receiver. Yeah, obviously we haven't seen him play there, but yeah, he's looked pretty good at safety.
Yeah, and I was adamant that he wasn't going to play receiver prior to the season. You know, there's some depth issues, obviously, but he's too good of a safety. He's too physical of a kid. I don't know what his time speed is going to be in terms of a 40, but the kid plays the right way, plays with his hair on fire, and he's a violent kid. I mean, sure, he could be your starter. Based off the way that they played the position defensively this year, he's going to be in a rotation. But yeah, I think DJ Brown and Houston Griffin can kind of move on. And then you're just going to see a kid like a Watts, a kid like a Ramon Henderson that just have a little bit more natural ability really start to shine. And what you're seeing too from Xavier, again, the guys, you can't be understated, Mike, in terms of a young kid categorically to me. He's still young, but flip-flopping offense and defense for the first 2 years or so of your college career, that's going to stunt your development at one of them, you know, the, his position as a safety. So I definitely think his arrow is pointing up, and he just really closes on the ball. I like him more coming downhill and run support than I do playing center field free safety, but that's okay. That's his strength. So between Ramon Henderson, I can't imagine Brandon Joseph's going to come out this year for the draft. If he does, God bless him, but I wouldn't advise him to. So between Henderson, Brandon Joseph, and Xavier Watts, you've got quite a bit of experience and just a really nice mix there.
Joey, I'd probably put him in the super fan of the show, says a happy Thanksgiving. Definitely appreciate it. You do anything fun for Thanksgiving, Mike?
Yeah, we're going to Wisconsin, visit some family. So a little road trip.
Can you do the show next Sunday?
I don't see why not.
Oh, well, sometimes you've traveled and you weren't able to, so I just wanted to make
didn't sure. Didn't even think about it, but yeah, I'll be there. Be here rather.
Yeah. I'm going to Florida and we'll be back sitting on the couch for the Notre Dame USC game, whereas Patrick Engel and Tyler Horka will be there for Blue and Gold. So I think that'll be really cool to have a couple staff writers out there. Nice. Yeah, Rick Palmer says Ben Morrison, smart player, watches the receiver and turns to see where the ball is, able to make those important plays and intercept. Absolutely agree with that, Rick. You're definitely echoing what Goolsby and I think. And appreciate the super chat. I just saw one come in from Matt L. So if you have a question, please drop it as well. Mike, we usually we're super chat focused, but there have just been some really good non-super chat.
Jump in, man. Yeah, jump in.
I'm going to go into Goolsby, can you give me a minute on Jalen Snead? If you had much thoughts on his performance, I don't think we've gotten in him yet.
Yeah, Jalen Snead is super raw.
Oh, no, you told him. Yeah, you called him the rubber. Yeah, we talked about Snead.
But yeah, of course, Mike. I don't know. Yeah. Hey, we're live, Mike. Jump in. Just kidding. No, but I think Jalen Snead is he's super raw. Super chat or a question. In high school, he played a lot of different positions. Like I think junior year, he was a defensive end. Mm-hmm. I think sophomore year, he was like a safety. Or like linebacker, he's played all over the defense. I think he kind of, I don't know how well coached he was at the high school level. I think it was just more of like a see ball, get ball type thing. Yeah. I did talk about this after he had committed to play for the Irish. You, Mike, interviewed him at one of these recruiting combine deals.
He's a sweetheart.
Sweetheart of a kid, but he was like, man. He was like, on my visit to Notre Dame, like the coaches were watching film with me. And he's like, I understand now after this visit to Notre Dame, like I understand that there's more to football than just like athletic ability. And I was like, oh my goodness, like this kid's a five-star recruit and doesn't even understand the concept of like watching film, et cetera, et cetera. So like that just it gives you a glimpse of like how raw he was coming out of high school, but probably needs to put on 10, 15 pounds. I don't care about that. I don't care. Jeremiah Owusu-Koamoah got drafted like at 210 pounds. Do not care. It's the way you move. And he is a explosive kid that covers a lot of ground and he's super violent on contact. And I think he wants to be special. You know, I follow him on social media. I think he wants to be a special player and he's hungry. So yeah, again, another young kid whose arrow is pointing up.
I'm reading YouTube chat. The acronym BFM is being posted every 3 seconds. I don't know what that means. BFM. So if someone can let me know. I don't.
Staying out of it.
I know. Something seems off there. There's an F in there. I don't know. Another comment here from Joseph. I talked about this in the post-game show, Mike. I don't know if you got to watch that. But look, Angeli's already played in two games. So let's say he plays against Boston College. That's three. And then Pine's helmet pops off. against USC. Angeli comes in. That's four. That's now four games. Then what happens? Now he plays in five games. So then Angeli burned a red shirt to hand the ball off against Boston College in a blizzard. So that's why he didn't play.
Yeah, you knew this. You knew this question was going to come up about Angeli. And for Christ's sakes, you'd think he was Arch Manning sitting on the bench. But I get it. But we are playing again. This team is peaking at the right time. And it's, we talked about this a little bit on air before going live, the contrast between NFL and college, like college, like you got to be dialed in from day one. You got to run the table. In the NFL, who cares? As long as you make the playoffs, that's all that matters. You got to make the playoffs and it's that's it. So you want to be peaking towards the end of the season, in the NFL. So we almost mirror that right now. The team is playing really well at all three phases. And why complicate that? Why muck that up at this point?
You know, well, I think the argument is, well, why not just get him some game experience because if Pine goes down? I get that, but there's practice. Like, practice is real, right? I mean, yeah, like, you're going 11 on 11. Just the risk reward of he could burn his – and it's a small – that would be a small chance, but it's just not – it's just not important enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the loss of a red shirt is the deciding factor on whether to play him or not. I don't know that. I mean, I don't know if Coach Freeman's been asked that.
From a Notre Dame standpoint, they probably don't care, right? They probably don't think he's going to be there for 5 years. But Steve Angeli sure as hell wants that extra year of eligibility, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and why do the fans want it? They want it because Drew has a lot of shortcomings.
Because he's the backup. So, backups. Yeah. Drew was very popular when he was the backup. It's just.
But again, folks, the team is rolling right now. The team is rolling right now. Going into the second biggest game of the season behind Clemson. Let's just say Angeli goes in there and, God forbid, throws a touchdown pass to Jaden Thomas or something like that. And that's just going to derail the press conferences. It's just like, I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, Mike.
Yeah. Roy Boy says 138 likes, sorted out. I completely agree. Mike, how many likes do you want to get to? I think we've hit like 1,000 before.
So we did get over 1,000. I just don't understand. I mean, if you're watching the video, hit the like button. You know, I mean, any YouTube video I watch, if somebody goes through the time to like make a video and something, like I watch a lot of videos for my Land Cruiser, like, you know, DIY videos. Somebody took the time out of their day to like film and post this video, I'm gonna like it. You know, like it.
Yeah. And if you're watching and you don't have a YouTube account, just make a YouTube account. It takes like 2 seconds. So yeah. Okay. Matt dropped a super chat. Recruiting focused. Appreciate that. Would Aeneas Williams, the running back, commit because of decommitment from the speedy running back from Kansas? That's Dylan Edwards. No, I don't think that Dylan Edwards is decommitting and Aeneas Williams would be the running back in 2024. So that, I think those two things are separate. And would Minchie cause a transfer before next year? I don't know if Minchie would cause a transfer or it's just what the situation of Notre Dame's quarterback room is. You know, that's what I think. I still think they should take a transfer quarterback as well as Minshew. I'm all for bringing in the competition, disrupt the comfortability in the off season, and you know, let the best man win. And if you want out, leave. And I think that room would gel during the season. Let the competition be in the off season, and let the room gel during the season. But yeah, any thoughts, Mike?
I agree. I don't know who would transfer because of Minshew. I mean, Pine's not going to go anywhere. He loves Notre Dame. I don't think Angeli would go anywhere. He loves Notre Dame. I don't see Buckner leaving either. Good question, but no, I don't see any of that happening. I just don't.
The Pine one, I would be interested because if he gets passed up again, that'd be 3 years in a row, right? As the starting quarterback, like it was the Cone Buckner show last year. This year was Buckner, and then next year he also is not the guy. I don't know, man. I think he would go. I think
this is just, that's just you. You're just being, you're just being contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. You don't believe that.
I could absolutely see it. Dude, if he just had
this. Don't wind me up, Mike. You're trying to wind me up. I can feel it.
I am not.
You think that Drew Pine would transfer?
I think it's very
You think possible. That Drew Pine in his heart, when he lays his head on the pillow at night, do you think that he thinks he should be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame or any other top 50 FBS school?
I absolutely think so. I think he has that confidence in himself. Absolutely.
I don't.
You're not asking – this is not about do I think he could do that or do you think it's – does he think he can? And I think so.
I don't think he – I don't think so.
I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. I
don't think so. They throw a swing pass to Tyree – or excuse me. They leak him out on a swing pass, and everybody else goes vertical. It is so wide open. It's you can't even put it into words. I mean, he's in a he's got a 25-yard radius around him where there's nobody in sight. Drew can't see him. I'm just telling you. Blake Fisher's whatever he is, 6'6", something like that, 320, 330. He cannot see him.
That's not the conversation we're having right now. We're not this is not the is Drew Pine a good quarterback. This is does he think that he could go
Drew, somewhere Drew Pine isn't going anywhere.
All right, well, I guess we'll just see. I'm not saying that I'm projecting it or predicting it. I just think
zero chance.
Well, I guess we'll see.
And I think he'll be remembered fondly as a quarterback. You know, 10 years down the road. But no, Drew's not going anywhere. No way. He loves the school. He wants the degree.
Get his degree.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. But zero chance.
He was an early enrollee, and this is his junior season. So I don't know.
The only way that that might happen, Mike, I'll play along, is if Coach Reese leaves and took another college gig. Could just you know throwing some hypotheticals out there. Could Drew follow him? Perhaps.
Yeah, but you think your opinion?
Who wants Drew Pine?
Your opinion is that Reese would go and go to the NFL, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, he could still leave and go to a college gig.
He could.
Yeah, but then again, so Pine is like, I don't want to play for any other offensive coordinator. He could leave because of that too, right? But I don't know where Drew would go to. An Ivy League school, you know, as far as a grad transfer?
I don't know. Don't know. BFM is Benjamin Effing Morrison. That's awesome. There you go.
That'd make a good T-shirt.
Buddy Tyler Horka just said, I could see Tyler Horka's watching, or Blue and Gold beat writer said, I could see Drew. Actually, I'm not going to read this because I don't know if Tyler wants me to read it on air. So, Tyler, you can let me know if you want that to be read on air. Okay, let's go through these super chats. I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts says, Mike, what were your season win-loss projection? Let's say we went out 9-3. So, like the regular season. I said 10-2. I can't believe that we're actually going to get close to that potentially.
Why? What makes you say that, Mike? What makes you say you can't believe that we're actually going to get
because close? Our Wednesday show with Tim Hyde early in the season or through the middle, we always did a segment.
Oh, on Tim thought we were going 6-6 after that.
Our
after
updated
that loss.
Win loss projection was like 7-5 because, dude, we did a ceiling floor thing, and I said I think ceiling is I don't know what I said 11-1, and I said floor is 7-5, and got roasted. Mike, how could you say 7-5? At the time, it was very possible, but so yeah, I just did not.
Yeah, but why? That. Why did you think
they were 3-3?
I want specifics. Yeah, but why
3-3 with okay, Syracuse on the road, Clemson at home? That easily could have been 2 losses. USC could have been a third loss to be 6-6. So, yeah.
So the fact that we have a jockey playing quarterback for us, that didn't factor into your shock that we could actually get close to 10-2. I just wonder why. Every unit on the field is playing really, really well. You know, so it's like that's where you look back in hindsight, you're like, man, if only we had somebody maybe else, you know, pulling the trigger offensively. I didn't have a preseason prediction. Nobody ever asked me. I don't even get asked for my score predictions. But on this, I just don't. But, I'm kind of a game-by-game guy, but I would think that the way that this season's wound up, if it's 9-3, I'd like to see us win a bowl game I think we'll play really, really well against USC, win a bowl game, and I think this season is it would be kind of remarkable, specifically because what you have at the quarterback position or what you don't have. I think it's a remarkable season. The
Rodgers
amount of
got
points
what?
that we've been putting up. Go ahead.
What they put up 30 more than the 35 in three straight games?
Yeah.
35. It's never been done.
All things considered, it's pretty remarkable.
Beamer ball. Rodgers says Love Goolsby takes on Pine. Yeah, confirmation bias. That's all it is. That's
Thanks,
all.
Roger. Appreciate it. I'm running out of jokes. But yeah,
Tyler,
this
you
USC game is
saying.
going to be.
Tyler, do you
What?
want to join the show? Tyler Horkish just keeps texting me,
Yeah,
man.
Tyler does a great job. You know, Tyler was almost going to stay at the crib when ND made it to the World Series.
Horka, if you want to join the show, man, you can pop on, man. Just let me know. Okay. Let's see. There was somewhere else we were going to go next.
Any
Oh,
questions about USC? Oh, go ahead, Mike.
yes, that
Sorry.
is next. But I know where we're going next with the show. Going to an ad,
Beautiful. Look at
which is
that.
Barb Stevenson. Folks, if you are looking for that perfect Notre Dame, if you're looking for that, excuse me, that perfect gift for the Notre Dame fan in your life, or potentially even yourself, look no further than the beautiful artwork of Barb Stevenson. She lives near the University of Notre Dame and always has been inspired to create pen and inks of the iconic buildings throughout the campus. In fact, she has even been commissioned by the University of Notre Dame many times to create artwork of those classic buildings to give as special gifts. And now she has a selection of four Notre Dame limited edition pen and ink prints she is offering to our listeners here at Blue and Gold. What makes each pen and ink so unique and one of a kind is the hand-painted metallic gold she applies to each one. They are simply stunning. Visit her website at barbstevenson.com to purchase or call 574 210-8388. Order now and receive free shipping anywhere in the continental United States. Order today, and it's Barb. So that's Barb Stevenson, is spelled Stephenson.com. So yes, please do go to
And
barbstevenson.com.
Christmas will be here before you know it. So Notre Dame fan, I say stocking stuffer, $10 subscription to Blue and Gold, and maybe for the main dish, the main course, one of Barb's pieces. Not bad. Not a bad Christmas.
Yeah. Then you throw in Augie's locker room, which is fantastic. We all love some Rogue Shop. I mean, it's just great.
Speak for
Andy Nation,
yourself, Mike.
appreciate the super chat. What's that, Mike?
I said, speak for yourself about Rogue Shop. I don't know what you're talking about.
okay. Let's see what else we have here. Andrew Gilmore says Foskey had a great game, great Notre Dame career. What is your
I love
confidence
it.
level in this guy, in the guys who? So let's good stuff, because we also had I had saved this from, oh, it's from the same guy, Andrew, saying talking about the young guys replacing Foskey. So let's first talk about Foskey with his 25 career sacks, passing one of your former teammates for the all-time career Notre Dame sack record. Mike, yeah, just comment on Mr. Foskey.
Yeah, this is fun. I'm glad that Andrew brought this up. It was in my notes. So, yes, I did play with Tuck, and Tuck came in as a true freshman. And I can remember the first time I met him. We were in the dorms during training camp. So, and Tuck could correct me on this, but Tuck showed up, Mr. Basketball in Alabama. He's from Kellyton, Alabama, very small town. Shows up as 218-pound true freshman outside linebacker. Very quickly, they moved him to defensive end. And I swear that Tuck, when Tuck went into the league, he was 272. So he put on, 50 plus pounds and was still, lean, just ripped up. Tuck was a true defensive end as he kind of grew into his body and had a hell of a NFL career and almost won a Super Bowl MVP for the Giants. He's Foskey to me is more of an outside linebacker than he is a defensive end. Much a lot narrower player. Jason Garrett's talking a lot about during the broadcast, speed to power in terms of his approach as a pass rusher. He doesn't show a lot of pass rush like acumen in terms of hand play, moves, pass rush moves. He's just like a great athlete. played with a high motor the last kind of two thirds of the season. And he's been a great player. And I think that he'll, I really do hope, I pray that he plays himself into the first round, because that's what we need to recruit. I've said this on the show before, Mike. I think that's really what resonates with high school kids, high-level high school kids, is first-round picks. You could say to a high school kid, Notre Dame has the most or the second most active players out of any school in the NFL right now, but it's not a fifth-round pick that plays for 7 years doesn't resonate with a high school kid. They want to see the first-rounders, and I think Isaiah, I think he'll run really, really well. He should be like a high 4-5 guy. I think he'll be a workout crazy, be a first round pick. That's important. Great career. And I still think that he's a little raw, just in terms of, like, you don't see a lot of hand play as a pass rusher, and that'll get developed as he moves on to the NFL. His replacement, Mike, is probably Batello. I think Burnham's behind him.
Yeah. Yep. Nana and Osito Akwenu, we don't see much of. I know Nana's played a good bit here and there, but this is all just DNs here, actually. This is not specifically Vipers. Aiden Gobira, Josh Burnham. They're going to go to the portal. They have to. There's not much Viper depth here. I mean, Keon Keeley legitimately could have been like a day one instant impact guy in terms of playing like 20 snaps a game. There's just not a lot of depth at weak side end. Thank goodness Burnham moved to there. I mean, seriously, it's just not.
Let's stay on this. So I'm rooting for Batello. I just am. And I think it was Navy. He got a little bit of run after the punt block. And I'm telling you, Jordan has some moves in his bag. Like, he's been working on it. Aiden Gobira has a lot of pass rush moves. He's long and lean, but I looked him up last night. He's listed at 241 pounds. Not a small kid at his height, and he's got another summer to continue, offseason to continue to develop. I think Aiden's got a lot of natural ability, and I think that he's put in the practice. I mean, we talked about that, him coming out of high school. He's a polished pass rusher at this stage in his career. Burnham is a weird fit for me at Viper. I know physically he looks the part, Mike. You and I've talked about this before. I mean, the kid's got to have like a 29-inch waist, and he's like 200. The guy looks incredible. He looks like a superhero in person. I always thought that Josh would be a natural fit at tight end, just having played the quarterback position. He was a quarterback, inside linebacker in high school. Now we're moving him to defensive end. I just thought with his athleticism and kind of understanding of a passing game that he'd be a really, really nice fit at tight end. But I'll trust the coaches putting him at Viper. But just with those names alone, they're young, but it's Aiden, Burnham, and Batello. I mean, I don't know how much depth you need, Mike. And a kid like Batello, too, and I could be wrong, but like if he is the guy, I think a kid like that will play with more confidence. You know, he's not really worried about getting yanked or getting rotated out or making a mistake. He's been in the program long enough. I think I'm excited for Patello's future.
Yeah. And on our scholarship chart that I pulled up, Patello was listed at Rover. I think that's originally where he was listed. But yeah.
He's been at End all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, super chats. All right, we're gonna go a little bit rapid fire. Eric says Pine helps Reese calling run plays and not throwing the ball 50 times like in the Fiesta Bowl. Obviously, don't mind Pine with this team. Goolsby might. We shall move along. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Would you switch either or both Marshall, Stanford? Those two losses for Clemson, USC, would it affect how you feel about the season?
One more time. One second.
I'll give my thoughts while you read it, Mike. For me, you talk about this season, it's a flawed team. The highs are high, the lows are lows. I think it's been fun and exciting. I would take this season, what we've had with those wins and losses, rather than the They just kind of beat who they beat, and they lose to who they, you know, they lose to the good teams, and just kind of that typical, oh, it's no different than Brian Kelly. I'm enjoying. I've enjoyed this season. It's been entertaining, and yeah, I wouldn't change those losses.
Yeah, I think we talked about that on the last show, Mike. I mean, in hindsight, you look back, it's been a fun season. It's been a flawed team. They've gotten consistently better. There's been some ebbs and flows. But yeah, no question, the marquee wins against the Clemson and hopefully upcoming against SC, I would happily beat those teams in exchange for a couple crappy losses, there's no doubt. And it, most importantly, Mike, because of recruiting.
Of course, Notre Dame has – this would be if Notre Dame beats USC. I should make it clear. And well, then we have had a few super chats. What's the game plan to shut down USC? Play them like Clemson. Susan asks, what's your score prediction for USC? What do you think, Mike? I also know you know, you wanted to talk about kind of the juxtaposition of – that night game in the Rose Bowl. Wait, no, but where was that game played? USC, UCLA. Why am I having a brain fart? Well, whatever.
I watched the first quarter. I couldn't even tell you where it was played. I think it was played at UCLA. Yeah, it was played at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, so you got that game versus, you know, Notre Dame, Boston College, in the snow. So, yeah, Mike, what do you think here?
Yeah, you've got all these, like, West Coast pretty boys like playing in the beautiful Pasadena, California. Meanwhile, like, we're slugging it out in 20 degree winds and you're 20 mile per hour winds, 20 degree weather, snowstorm. So I think for our kids going on the road, it's going to be like a little mini vacation coming into the Coliseum, playing on that short. I mean, that grass is like a putting green. I think the kids are going to be excited. But it really was fun to just see, like, geez. And I don't think Jack Collinsworth did us any favors. Like, oh, this is a typical afternoon in South Bend. You know, if any recruits are watching, it's like, hey, Jack, zip it, dude. It's not that bad. But, yeah, score prediction. So USC kind of had a barn burner against UCLA, 38-35. Notre Dame beats the shit out of Boston College, playing confident, having fun. I'd predict Notre Dame to win. I mean, off the top of my head, you'd probably say like a 35-28 type game. I just don't think, I mean, if we bring our physical brand of football, USC doesn't want that. I think Caleb Williams is an exceptional quarterback, just a really gifted, and he can make some plays and some throws that'll make your jaw drop. But it's a complete contrast of styles.
Yep.
And, you know, if Benjamin Morrison hadn't been playing so well, that would be my main concern. It's like, well, test him. Bring Jordan Atkinson against Benjamin Morrison. He's been tested all year. Bring it. Our front four is playing well. I think Notre Dame will win. And I think it's just that physical brand of football. If Reese can kind of stay out of his own way, continue to pound the rock, I think we win. I think we win by a touchdown.
If USC loads the box and takes away the run and Notre Dame can't throw the ball, it's going to be a long night. And
it's going to be a long night.
I also think Notre Dame is going to need a big play or two again, defense, special teams, like Beamer ball. Like, Notre Dame is going to need to play that. That's it. Notre Dame has to play Beamer ball.
If USC has some great players, they've got the defensive end number 49. Don't ask me his name. He's supposed to be a top pick in the draft. Well, we got Joe Walton, we got Blake Fisher, so we can kind of hopefully nullify that. You got Jordan Atkinson at receiver. We got Benjamin Morrison and Cam Hart, who's been a really good player for us, really consistent player this year. So I just think our running game, their best running back, Travis Dye, who's a transfer from Oregon, he got hurt last week, so they're kind of breaking in a new running back. I like us in this game.
Yeah. I think I do too.
Right. Yeah, I think we've been home for a long time, you know, kind of out on the East Coast. I just think that we'll get up for this game. I know our fans will travel well. It should be a really fun environment. And I think the kids will continue to play with joy and go execute.
Yeah, for sure. I just got a message from someone who wants to know about something specific. Someone who's watching our show right now. How about the Mitchapalooza package for Mitchell Evans? We have not. I don't think we've talked about that. You know, Mitchell Evans playing quarterback, and then you know those QB, our little QB tight end sneaks, and then even handed one off. Commenter, appreciate the question, but yeah, Mike, what do you have you got much thoughts on this?
Mitch is interesting because I remember his coined him Big Mitch watching his high school footage. Mm-hmm. I was kind of a fan of his. Much better athlete. He's kind of leaned out. Much better athlete. And I heard during the broadcast that they said he's the fastest tight end that they have in terms of straight line speed. I did hear that during a broadcast. Hmm. I swear I heard that. But it's fun. And I think that you're going to continue to build off of it at the right time, kind of going into an SC. So we got a wrinkle off of the Mitch package.
Kevin asked, can Evans throw the ball? He played high school quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's not bad either as a senior.
Yeah.
He can also punt it. So, I don't know.
There's just more wrinkles in terms of, like, this game, a lot more 21 personnel. We had three backs in the game at one point. So, it's like we're doing the identity of the offense. Again, if we can just stay in that groove, is just power running game. But we're coming at it from a lot of different looks. I'm such a fan of Jaden Thomas, by the way. Like, dude, he's gotten – he's like stunned. That's an NFL kid. That's an NFL kid.
Stunned at how good he is so fast.
They show Jaden on the bench, what's he doing? Grinning ear to ear. I'm telling you, these kids are having fun out there. I don't know. I can't talk about it enough. But yeah, Jaden's blocking his ass off. He's like a Mitch mismatch type of guy. So he's going to end up being, if he's, what did we say he was, 6'1", 6'2", like 215. He'll end up being a 6'2", 230 pound jack of all trades for us.
You have a very good memory, Mike. You always are recalling, you know, I mean, you just remember the nickname you gave Mitch Evans from 2 years ago. Same class as Jaden Thomas, Styles, Colsey. And it was supposed to be Styles was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
His name got called once. It was like that jet sweep. And then
I think he had two catches, but yeah. Two touches, sorry.
Styles.
Yeah, like
27 yards, yeah. Colsey, I think, has kind of had a renaissance this season. Talked about that earlier. Like, he's getting more playing time. Pine's best friend on third down at times. And then Thomas was – I thought he was going to move to safety. Like, I just – like, it just –
such a bad take. You're insane, dude.
Shut up. Little shit.
I thought he was going to move to safety. Okay.
I really did. I like this. I like some of the safety tape. It's just his range. But, Mike, he's got some shit to him as well.
Yeah, he's a physical kid. And I think Coach Reese has done a really good job of figuring out ways to kind of keep him close to the ball. But yeah, he's not a double move type guy. But yeah, he's good, and even good. It was good to see Lorenzo Styles find some success too. You're going to need him if we have to score points in the USC game. You're going to need him. It was nice to see him kind of get, hopefully start to get, if confidence is an issue, get his feet back underneath him and find some success this season. So it was good.
Yeah. All right, got to see a few more super chats. Patrick, Craig, Michael G, and Hank. We'll get you guys. I did want to, before I forget, this Phil Dracovic Instagram post. Mike, let's keep it like somewhere between PG-13 and rated R. This was just so strange. The timing of it, like, dude, you've already said your piece. Like, what are you doing? For folks listening on podcasts, we do love you, by the way. I have it up. What he posts on the screen, we're not going to read through it, but Mike, it's just very weird. Like, dude, you're You're injured. You're not playing in this game. Like, what are you trying to do? You had to have known Notre Dame was going to destroy your team, too. It's just very strange. Very strange. Very petty.
Yeah, yeah. It's strange, and I don't have anything bad to say about Phil. I thought he was a great quarterback. Or, you know, could have been a really good quarterback. And, like, you transferred, which we've talked about on this show. Sometimes it's harder to leave than it is to stay. But, yeah, it's a strange take, and I feel bad for the guy, dude. It's almost like somebody got out of, like, a like, your girl left you, Phil. It's been 2 years. Like, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know it sucked and, like, whatever, but now you sound like a weirdo, bro. You sound like a weirdo. So, like, part of me feels bad for Phil, and he looks like a clown. And I just think that in hindsight, this is one of those things where it's like, what was I thinking? You know, and then to try and inject yourself into a game that you're not playing in and stuff. It's just, and then, like, you know, I think Phil Jurkovic's probably got some NFL traits in terms of arm strength, size, what have you. Like, not a good look. Like, this type of shit isn't going to serve you when it comes to NFL prognosticators and, you know, GMs and scouts and all that. It's just a really bad look, dude. And I feel bad for him. I do.
Yeah. I mean, would you rather have Pine or Jurkovic?
I'd rather have Phil.
Of course.
I'm going to make a long Instagram post about it later.
I look forward to it. Patrick said, any bowl predictions for Notre Dame? I think what I had been seeing people talking on our message board was that it was trending towards the Holiday Bowl on the 28th. It's in San Diego. Or if Notre Dame beats USC, there's a decent shot at the Gator Bowl. Was that in Jacksonville? I don't remember the date off the top of my head, but both would kind of be like letdowns after, you know, if Notre Dame beats USC, right? Like, if the Irish beat USC and then they go play in the Gator Bowl, it's going to be like, oh, man, we should be playing in a New Year's Six Bowl, but it is what it is. Any thoughts, Mike?
I somewhat disagree that it would be disappointing. And that's the interesting part about being like a Notre Dame fan. We all agree. I think we all agreed going into this season, even with Tyler under center, that we weren't a national championship team this year. We're building towards that. You're breaking in a new head coach. Recruiting is on the uptick. We weren't a national championship team this season. I think the season that we've had has been remarkable. And yeah, I think I said the same thing last year. So it's like, I would look at it as a disappointment. I want to go play a good team, and I want to play a brand name team in a bowl game, and I want to beat the shit out of them. That's what I want. If it's a New Year's Six game versus a Holiday Bowl versus a Gator Bowl, who gives a shit? It's the national championship or bust. To me, it's the playoff or bust. It's just degrees of like, oh, this is a slightly better bowl game. It's all the same crap. Just go win. That's how I look at it as a player.
I think it would just kind of help get the monkey off the back of Notre Dame not winning a major bowl game in so long.
For sure.
That's all.
For sure. And you get the whole nother month of practice. All of that stuff is huge, but you got to play. Let's play a marquee team that maybe we compete against in the recruiting trail, and let's beat the brakes off them. That's what I want.
Be very disappointing if it was like a Iowa State in a crap bowl, you know, like something like that. So
For sure, Mike. Yeah, we're saying the same thing. I totally agree.
Craig says, I think Minshew comes to Notre Dame because he can beat Pine and Buckner out for the starting job unless we get a stud quarterback in the transfer portal. Be a lot to ask of Minshew to start as a true freshman, but stranger things has happened for sure. So any thoughts, Mike? I don't know if you've followed Minshew much or
no, I've seen the film. I've seen the film. He looked like a Dante Moore light. They resemble one another. I think Minchie's another smaller guy. He's kind of got a big bottom, bigger, thicker bottom half.
Yep.
I'd say he's more stoutly built than a Tyler is. I'm saying that Minshew has a thicker bottom half than Tyler.
I don't know. Buckner's pretty built too.
But Tyler's also been in the college weight room for 2 years, and we're looking at a junior in high school. So you could project, Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
None of these kids are finished products. But yeah, he's got that kind of new age arm that you look for where they can throw.
Yeah.
But I've seen Tyler do it too. So that's, it would be a good competition. I'm still rooting for Tyler, but I'm glad that we got Minchie, because some of those traits that he has, you know, being able to throw off a back foot, throw off platform, throw around guys. I mean, that's just what you need nowadays at the quarterback position.
Yeah. Minchie hasn't committed yet, but it seems fairly likely at this point. Michael said, he dropped a super chat and then said, Mike, I got to meet you, and I'm just going to guess he means you, Mr. Goolsby, and not me. I got to meet you at a tailgate at the Rose Bowl when Notre Dame played UCLA. Love your honesty and insight. Do you think Notre Dame has the perimeter speed on defense to stay with USC this year?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think getting to Caleb Williams will probably be the most important aspect for us defensively. I mean, they're going to get some catches. That's fine. I don't see them being able to run the ball with a great deal of success. Going back when I was talking, one of the first things we talked about on this show, Mike, is how I'm probably a little bit emotionally scarred from my experience in losing to BC 4 years in a row as a player. I think there's a degree of that when it comes to SC in the Notre Dame fan base. Like, we think of SC and we think of Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, Reggie Bush, you name it. I just think that's what we think. That's not USC yet. I mean, give Lincoln Riley another few years and there might be some room for concern. But I think when you look at like a roster top to bottom, I would say that we probably have better athletes, if not equal athletes. And this is going off of what I saw with my own eyes being on the field at the Clemson game. We look the part. And then last thing about getting to their quarterback, Foskey's a smart dude. Like, I think Foskey knows when to turn it on. So if a guy like Foskey might sit out a bowl game, and he's a candidate for that, right? And that's his decision. And I wish him well either way. But Foskey could probably put some money in his pocket going after this USC quarterback in the same way that Notre Dame's won USC quarterbacks. We love to give USC players the Heisman. Yeah, they play well against us, traditionally speaking, at the end of the year. I think Foskey can do that. So I would really expect Foskey to have a big game and put some money in his pocket.
All right, very well. Hank says, recruiting question here, with Notre Dame losing out on Keon, any elite rushers in the upcoming class 23 or 24, how would you rate the D-line development? Like I said, I think they're going to go to the portal, but knowing Notre Dame and this aggressive recruiting staff, they're keeping their eye out on some Vipers. Even if the plan right now is to just skip it and go to the portal, if someone pops into their lap, decommits from other school, they will definitely go that route. But rating the D-line development, you have to be a little bit more specific than that. Any take on that, Mike?
Well, my take on Keon Keeley, I totally understand the ranking, but in terms of him being elite, I don't know if he was elite. I mean, he looks the part. He's a beautiful athlete. If you were to design a defensive end in a lab, they'd look a lot they look a lot like Keeley, but he plays hard. Excuse me, he plays high, rather. The film wasn't anything where it's makes your jaw drop in terms of there's stuff that Jalen Sneed does on film, regardless of his size or his frame or whatever. Holy smokes. You didn't see that with Keeley, but I get it just because he's 6'6", he's 250 or whatever, long arms. I see it. But I don't think he was elite categorically based off of the production and the film. But D-line development, none of these guys, I think Al Washington's strength as a coach, a lot of it is in that recruiting department. So I think once Coach Washington gets some of his guys, but I think that development will increase. But I don't think the D-line's played bad at all. I think Gabe Rubio's come on back half of the season. Jason Anya got in the game, and he was a three-star kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Howard Cross has played his balls off. I mean, I think we get some bigger bodies in there that Coach Washington will bring in, that could become an elite position group for us defensively. And I know we're recruiting a bunch of them. It seems like every other kid that we got committed is a defensive lineman or on the defensive side of the ball, at least.
No. Folks, please do hit the thumbs up if you are just joining us here and you have not done so. And please do subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We're going to go for a few more minutes as we finish up all these super chats. Bernie did say earlier, is Goolsby still growing or did he buy an even smaller tiny house? Goolsby, you look like you hit the gym today, man.
I did hit the gym today.
Okay. Could tell. John says, let's put Evans at quarterback. Who knows?
Perfect.
I have some eligibility. Throw me out there, too. Do appreciate the super chat, Mr. Monty. And another Mont. DeMont, Mr. Food Lover, says, seeing how big Mitch Evans is with quarterback experience, could we have used him in more passing plays? I guess
The answer is yes. Anything is possible, dude. Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible. But, might you see like a jump pass from a Mitch Evans? Sure. I mean, you're starting to see some wrinkles, and he's comfortable doing it. So, yeah, you could do anything. But, no, I don't see Mitch coming out as our starting quarterback anytime soon.
Like I said, he was like a second-team All-Ohio punter. No one's like, hey, should we put him at punter? No one's like, hey.
Well, nope. Well, yeah, wait till next week's show. Yeah. John Sotts shanks one, and then you're going to hear all about it. I don't think a lot of people knew that, Mike, about it.
We're being smart asses. We do appreciate the support, though, guys. Matt says, with no elite Viper, Keon leaving the classic Notre Dame, switch to a 3-4 defense to get more of these elite young linebackers on the field. I think that would be quite a hard overreaction to not getting one player.
I would agree, but to play along with the question, yes, you could play in a 3-4. That should never be your base defense at a college level just because they run the ball too much. And you have to have the body types to play in a 3-4, Matt. Like, you need a 320-pound plus nose. You need 280-pound plus defensive ends. You need 260-pound outside linebackers. And then based off of what we've seen, Matt, last thing, playing in a 3-4, and I played in one in Dallas, you have to like guards are uncovered, so they roll off on you. So you have to hat and hands them and shed a block. Our linebackers, our interior linebackers, haven't shown a propensity to shed blocks playing in a 4-3 where they're actually covered up. So that might look even worse in a 3-4. So I don't see it happening. But situationally, third down or something like that, you could sprinkle it in.
Yeah, I feel like they played a lot of three-man fronts last year. Maybe it's faced out a little bit more.
Yeah, they did. But they would put Foskey in the box as an inside linebacker, and they would play in a three-man front. But he's talking about a 3-4 as a base defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a quick trip down memory lane. I know this is not a great photo, but there's Mike Goolsby.
Why'd you pull that up?
Someone had a comment about you picking off Carson Palmer.
Oh, yeah, he threw it right to me.
So there he is.
Keith Jackson said as much, too. Remember Keith Jackson? Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson.
Yeah.
Like the guy.
Carson threw it right to me, and Keith Jackson was like, oh, my grandmother could have picked that. It's like, is there a bigger USC homer out there than Keith Jackson? RIP if he – I don't want to speak ill of the dead.
Yeah, he was the guy with Boomer, still, right? Did NFL Countdown?
No. Mike, no. You're so young. No, Keith Jackson. Rumbling, bumbling, you know, Keith Jackson. He was like the voice of college football for years and years and years. I think he might have passed on, so I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but he was definitely an SC homer.
Yeah,
I
died in
if you listen 18. Back to
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway. Hey, what do you I'm sorry. I don't remember. Calm down. Love Goolsby's no nonsense takes. Refreshing knowing you're hearing what someone really thinks. Thanks, guys. I will say as much as I love it too, what you're also saying there is that me and Tim Hyde aren't.
No, it's interesting,
here,
Mike.
Listen, I get on here and I say shit that I know people are not going to like. I don't really care. I'm just going to tell you what I think. I do appreciate the five spot, though. But damn.
No, it's interesting because I watch you and Tim, and you're a lot spicier with Tim than you are with me. You're a lot more boisterous in terms of like.
It just depends on the topic.
Yeah, that's fair.
Listen, you guys, calm down with your Keith Jackson.
There you go. Whoa, Nelly. That's it, Joey. Yeah.
Oh, whoa, Nelly, Keith Jackson. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Would that be like you covering, you know, pop music and not knowing who Michael Jackson was, right? I mean, so you can't cover college football and not know who Keith Jackson is.
All right, boomers, calm down. Time for your bedtime. Everybody calm down in the chat. Jesus.
No, but it's true. Your generation, like, you know, I work with these high school kids. You'll work with a safety. Like, remember when Steve Atwater hit Christian Okoye and they're like, I don't know who Steve Atwater is. And it's like, how could you not? How could you play the position and not know who Steve Atwater is?
What do you want them to do? Go back in time?
No, I want them to become fans of the game. You know, anyways, you got any more super chats? I only have one other note that we didn't touch on, Michael.
Yeah, go through it.
I think that college officiating across the board, and this isn't just exclusive to Notre Dame, college officiating is bad this year. You know, the Navy game, we had a 7.5 minute delay while they cleaned something up. This year, they had to go back to the replay booth. You watch a lot of these games, man. Officiating's bad. The Michigan-Illinois game, it was criminally bad. So it's just, I hope that we can, like, stuff like that, like, it raises, like, a little bit of a red flag. If you get a Pac-12 officiating crew in this USC game, it's like, man, just clean it up. Do better, officials. Do better. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Yeah, all in good fun. I did – Keith Jackson worked for ABC Sports from 1966 to 2006. I was in sixth grade, so – calm down,
dude. Okay. Sixth grade, Mike is peak.
That I know sports. All the announcers.
Peak
things?
Sports fandom is sixth grader. You're like what, 10, 11, 12 years old?
That I know all the announcers' names. Come on.
Well, anyway,
you know what? I don't know which Mike he's agreeing with. I'm just gonna say it's me. So appreciate it, DV. All right, that's all. That's all we got.
That was fun, Mike.
Fun show.
Hit that thumbs up, would you?
Yeah, please do. Please do. All right, we'll be back next Sunday with the Mike Goolsby show, likely in our same 7 p.m. Eastern time slot. Head over to blueandgold.com for all
of Notre Dame's going to win, Mike. We're going to win.
From your lips to God's ears. Appreciate you all.
Amen.
We'll catch you guys next time.